All right, so I hope that was helpful. We're now going to start the afterburn. So if you have comments or questions about what I just taught, you can get in line over here in the room. If you're online, the Shamash team will take down your comments and questions. And as may be noted, we may or may not get to them based on it's already 5:30 and I went long. So, okay, but we'll try. Let's see what we can do to get through a few of them. All right. Mr. Del Taylor, all the way from further down in Georgia.
All right. I'm going to try not to be too convoluted, but I have a question that's kind of multifaceted. So I'm going to, in Ephesians 2:8.
Mm-hmm.
So the gift of Elohim is belief. Correct? Is that?
No. The gift of Elohim is that he poked your bubble and let you even know there was something other than the worldly walk in verse 2.
Okay.
Right? So it says, by favor, you've been saved through belief. So you were given this path to being delivered out of all that nonsense by him as a gift, choosing to poke you.
Okay. So he gifts us, or he pokes our bubble as the gift, so that we can do good works?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So,
he gifts us so we can make a choice.
Okay.
Okay, he's letting us know there is a choice, that there is a deliverance available, okay? That there is a different path that leads to a different result than being dead in trespasses.
And so our purpose is good works.
So the purpose is to take that information and to grow into his image, which is through the good works.
Okay.
And our belief.
So in Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is Elohim who is working in you both to desire and to work for his good pleasure. And as I was studying in Exodus 31, let me go to that. And I'm, like I say, this is kind of, I may be convoluted and way off base. It says, and Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, see, I have called by my name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Yehuda, and I have filled him with the spirit of Elohim in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all work, to make designs for work in gold and in silver and in bronze and in cutting stones. And I'll stop there. But so in my Christian mindset, when I look at this verse, I feel like, okay, Yahweh miraculously filled him with wisdom. But as I think that maybe the correct way to look at that is that he gave them a desire to do something. And in that desire, what they did, and he was working with, whether it was gold or stones, he gave, that's how they got the wisdom, was through their work experience. And I'm going to try to bring this back around. But so their wisdom came from their experience, just like our wisdom in something comes from our experience. So when we have a desire to do something, whether it's working in stone or whether it's doing electronics or whether it's doing computer stuff, we gain wisdom, or we can be filled with wisdom in order to work his works. So,
yes.
So the jobs that we're doing here, if we desire to do his will, then we're going to try to excel at those jobs so that it, maybe someplace down the road, he's going to use that for his purpose.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That was good. Because look, he didn't like take some guy who's just walking around all of a sudden, now he knew everything there was about building the tabernacle, okay? He took a guy, he said, I want to introduce you to somebody who, through his life, I've developed the skills that he would need today to do this.
Okay?
So this is a man whose whole life has demonstrated his talent and skills and gifting in the areas that were listed there for the work that would be needed to build the tabernacle. So it wasn't like he was just given at that moment some instantaneous divine understanding. He's saying, you got 603,000 men over 20 years old. I know one that's actually ready to do this job. So I'm going to tell you that's the guy that I've gifted with all that. He's the man for the job.
So through life, as we work maybe different jobs, we should work at each one of those with due diligence because we don't know somewhere down the road that that might be useful to
Absolutely.
Yahweh and his
Look, birth. And I said this the other night when maybe it was at Rosh Chodesh, but I mean, everything that I did prior to ministry, I use to some degree now in ministry. Skill sets that I did other jobs with. So yes, absolutely. But also understand that just like this man was being identified because he already had what he needed to do this stuff, you were picked because Abba knew you had it in you. You were picked because Abba knew. You didn't have a clue, but it was in you potentially to do these things, right? The potential was there. Now, in the case of Bezalel, I mean, he had already been doing this in his life and had demonstrated it. In your case, you may not realize that some of the things you did that you showed loyalty to, even if it was the wrong thing, or some of the other stuff that you did, maybe were evidence that you were put on, if you were put on the right path, you could do it. But he believes in you. Okay? Good. All right, Janet?
I just had so many notes. Like 6 or 7 pages, but it's just, this is crazy. It was so good, Rabbi. Thank you, first of all. So you were talking a lot about renewing our minds, and then a lot of it has to do with mindset. So I was thinking about that in the self-development, like you become what you think about most of the time. So I think that, like, having the unity in the mind with the Father, with the Torah, with Yeshua, requires, like, a constant effort. And I felt really humbled by your teaching today, because I realized probably I can step it up with my Shabbat keeping. And I obviously, I don't want to turn into a counseling. I want to ask you specifically a couple of things that I may be in the wrong, because I don't want to miss the mark, right? I mean, this is,
okay,
this
but,
is real, it.
But realize that because of his popping your bubble and because of the other things he's already done in your life that has continue to grow your confidence and belief,
yes,
then your desire that he birthed has increased in wanting to get it right.
Yes.
Okay? So there's a growth curve that basically you're starting off and he pops your bubble and you start doing a little bit of things and that they seem to work and you start to have a relationship develop with him. And more that goes, the more and more you want to have it more and more, right? You want to fill it to overflowing, which means you want to get it right. You want to, you're now seeking what is his well-pleasing desire.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So it makes sense. It flows through exactly the way I've been teaching it.
Okay, good. And then I have one question, and that has to do with Philippians 2, verse 8. So it says, "And having been found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death." Right? You talk a little bit about that. So as a man, so when Yeshua was here, He was not only a man, he was more than a man, right? I mean,
yes.
Okay, because it's not just like us.
No.
Like
look, you said,
right.
In verse 6 it says, being in the form of the Elohim. So the form. So look, right now you're in the form of a human being. John tells us in 1 John that at some point when he's revealed, we're going to change form into the Elohim form. And then he humbled himself and was found to be in the fashion as a man. So he took on a man form, okay? And so that's just hopefully, that. Look, we're trying to understand things that are so above our thing, but we're trying to understand them at least in through the glass darkly, as they say, right? As best we can. All right, Catherine.
So while you were teaching this and talking about us having our bubble popped and this gift that was given us, that, and then we would start to do the good works, and I was thinking of James 1:23, the hearer of the word, not a doer, is like a man who forgets what he looks like, which is almost impossible for someone to forget what they look like. So then I'm thinking, could we forget that Yahweh had given us this gift, that he had poked our bubble? I don't know if we could completely forget that, but I just feel like even just seeing people here that leave here, it first starts with them kind of grumbling about they don't want to tithe. They think they're not supposed to tithe or do what they're being taught. And then it's like they don't think it's them, they start blaming everyone else around them. Like they have, like, it's not like they have forgotten, but they start like kind of thinking you're the wrong teacher, this is the wrong place. And then they kind of try seeking it out in other places. So I feel like if we're not constantly striving to do good works, we can almost forget what our purpose is.
Absolutely.
And also I wanted to say about changing the mindset. I struggle with a lot of anxiety. And just recently, actually, I watched the Hanukkah teaching and I shifted my mindset that I have a control issue. And I'm always asking the Father, I need peace, like take this anxiety. But then it's like just a couple weeks ago, I shifted my mindset and I'm like, okay, I need to let go of control in some areas. And it was like such a weight lifted and my anxiety decreased so much. So it was like, it's not always asking the Father to take something away, but you know, he allowed me to see that I needed to start thinking differently, and it was me.
Yep. Look, it's absolutely going to create tremendous levels of anxiety the more things you try to control, especially those things that you can't control. Okay. And by the way, James, the quote, that's going to be maybe next week. It's in my notes. I was going to go there, so that's good that you went there. Becoming the doer of the word, not the hearer only, from verse 22 of chapter 1. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4 references down. Who knows if I'll get there next week, but it's on my paper. All right, Ashley.
I've been thinking about this for a while, and you mentioned empty and empty cup during the readings, or during the scriptures. And I was wondering, so is it a good thing to feel empty sometimes so the Father can fill us up the way he needs us to be?
Well,
I think that
you have to understand that what he's talking about here is that you need to consciously empty yourself of the things that need to go so that there's room for the things that then you need to consciously allow or let come into you. Okay?
Okay.
So not just about, I feel empty.
Well, I associate those two things together a lot.
But they're not the same thing. Emptied himself is not the same as he felt empty. Okay.
Can you give me a...
No, you feel empty because you have some emotional missing something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then you may ask, seek, not, try to find a way to fill that hole. He took a bunch of stuff out, so to speak, and then brought a bunch of stuff in all on purpose.
Like the grow and go?
Okay. You end up feeling empty because you're just missing something.
Okay.
You don't know how it ended up missing. It's something that's just a feeling, right?
Okay.
Feeling empty. Emptying yourself, meaning I'm taking out my, removing my me, I, all that self-sovereignty stuff so I can put his authority in and it becomes about him. And emptying yourself, you know, you got verses that talk about emptying yourself. You also verse saying, lay these things up in your heart or let this mind come in you. So there's things that you have to do actively both ways, taking in, removing, and putting in. Feeling empty is an emotional challenge, okay?
Okay, I think I got it. Sorry, I just had a weird teapot pour me out and you said that. So is that kind of the thing you're talking about then?
Well, look, if you got a teapot, right, and let's say that teapot is full of orange juice or whatever, you're going to have to pour the orange juice out to put the tea in if you want tea. You can't just put tea in the thing filled with orange juice, all right? So then you have to choose to empty out the one so you can then put in the other, okay? And so that's what we're talking about, as opposed to just the teapot happens to have nothing in it and it just feels empty. I just feel empty. That's not the same thing, okay? Because you don't even know how you got to be empty. You don't know why you feel empty. You just feel like something's missing. You're lonely. You feel neglected. You feel not loved or whatever. That's an empty feeling, as opposed to emptying out, pouring out some stuff so there's room for something else, okay? Good. All right, Rocky. And then we'll try to squeeze one or two in, Rob, so be selective.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay.
So you're saying that it says that Yeshua is in the form of Elohim.
I am sure I didn't say it that way.
I didn't think so. Okay. So we know that...
That's all, folks.
So we know that, you know, that he's in two forms. We know that the Father and the Son, he's in two forms. And we know that Yeshua is full of grace, that he merited all the grace there is, and that by that grace, he can reveal to me himself, and he's going to reveal himself by the grace, by the grace that Yeshua did to each and every one of us someday, and it's up to us to do what we want to do with that,
yeah.
Whether we accept that or thank you.
Yes. All right. Good. All right. Look, the beginning point, just to reemphasize before I go to live stream, the starting point was unmerited, okay? What you do with it afterwards, you're going to merit or not, okay? But you didn't do anything to earn the starting point, okay? As a matter of fact, it says that you absolutely didn't deserve anything. You were dead in your trespasses. Strangers from everything, no relationship with Elohim. You were nowheresville, okay? And then out of his gift, he said, "Hi, let me introduce myself. I'm the Creator God. I'd like a relationship with you." And you're like, "What?" And everything you do with that information going forward, that's now on you. And then out of his generosity, the more you go ask and seek and knock, the more he sends your way and gives you. Of course, if you don't, he gives you nothing else. I mean, he's not going to give you more than you want to do with, okay? All right? All right, Rob. Chamish Rob.
It's that. We only got one that's really relatable today. Betty and Steve Carden question Colossians 1:24, is the word lacking referring to the knowledge lacking in fully understanding Yeshua's sacrifice?
Oh, okay. Well, I really didn't go into that verse. So let's see. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Let me just see where. Yeah, I didn't really even cover that. So verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in Messiah's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the assembly. You know what? That whole part of Paul talking about himself, I have not really focused my, you know, the teaching part of it on. So I'm not really sure what Paul's talking about there, and I'm not going to have that answer for you right this second. But that wasn't the pertinent part. In the middle of what he was teaching, he happened to bring himself into it and said, look, I've been going through all of this stuff for your sake, trying to do these things to get your attention and get you on the right page. And so every now and then Paul does that in a lot of the letters, because I think a lot of people questioned and attacked his qualifications for what he was doing, okay? And so I think he just threw that in there. So no, I'm not going to have a good answer for you on this right this second. My brain is completely wrapped on where we were. All right? All right, was that it?
Well, Olivia Dearth just put one here that might be more relatable. So by his gift/favor, not of us or by we do not, I'm sorry. So by his gift/favor, not of us or by we do cause, I can't even read that.
All right. One of the requirements for live stream is that you have to type intelligibly. Okay. It's okay, don't worry about it. Look, let me answer the question this way. Okay, let me answer the question this way. Stop going beyond the free thing is the origin, the initial point, okay? I'm pretty sure that's where that question was headed, all right? The free gift in verse 8 was you did nothing to earn his decision and timing of pushing a hole in your delusion bubble. Okay? Everything after that. Okay, now I got to hear where I see it. Okay, none of us. Okay, cause we were still to the wrath, though our belief was so. No one can boast and do his covenants, which is good. That is kind of very not proper English. But anyway, I think in essence you got the point. I'm like trying to read this off the screen here. So I think you get the point. The point is so that we can't boast that we earned the bubble pop and that we earned the relationship. He's saying, look, you were a mess. You did nothing to deserve this. And then he inserted himself into your world and made you aware. And that was a gift. Everything after that moment, you actually merited. You merited more of that gift, more interaction, because you had to do something with what he gave you. And if you don't do anything with it, he's not giving you anything else. As a matter of fact, he might take away what he gave you. We have parables for that, right? Okay? All right. Good. All right. So hopefully that was good for everybody and helpful and...